May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The last time I went to the doctors, he obviously didn't believe me when I told him what my weight was. So to get a better idea of my body mass index, he put me on his scales in the surgery. It came out a bit more than I had said. So he asked me about my exercise regime, and this impressed him. Every day I jump to conclusions, climb up the walls, drag my heels, push my luck, make mountains out of molehills, bend over backwards, run around in small circles, put my foot in my mouth, go over the edge and beat about the bush. Seriously, he said I was doing okay. But that was before Krisha and I had a week in the Scilly Isles. And although the exercise there was great, the calorie intake was also great, and we have a few pounds to lose. Now, a more serious diagnosis. I heard about this one from a neighbouring Methodist minister many years ago in one of my former parishes. The clergy in that Surrey town used to meet for breakfast every Monday, and we shared our experiences of ministry. The Methodist minister told us about a member of his congregation, a person called Richard. Richard was diagnosed as having a serious cancer. He had a brain tumour, and if nothing was done, he would die. He was a well-off man, an influential businessman, also a man of prayer. The first thing his illness did was to make him appreciate all that he had, and all that was precious to him. Amid the fear of what lay ahead, a new joy had entered his life and his home. Each time he went for a treatment, he committed himself not only to the hospital team, but also to the love of God. He was sure, whatever the outcome, he would not be separated from God and his care. Richard was blessed, and he received a partial cure, which gave him a few extra years to live. He never ceased to show his appreciation for life and all that was around him. He gave thanks to God each day for all he was able to do. On top of that, he gave a proportion of his income each week to cancer research in thanksgiving for what had been done for him. Now, any prayer we make might be answered by God with a yes or a no or a wait. But the best prayer we can ever make is not for a particular outcome, but for God's will to be done. Thy will be done. We pray that every time we come together. Now look at today's readings. Both the first and the third are about lepers. Leprosy. Leprosy was one of the most feared diseases. If you caught leprosy, you were asked to leave your home, leave your community. You had to go and live out in the desert waste. You might never see your loved ones again. Leprosy was like having a life sentence or a death sentence. It was believed that leprosy was catching, and as a safety measure, lepers were asked to keep their distance and to live outside the community. Now, Jesus was in a remote area between Galilee and Samaria. Here in this barren wasteland lived a group of lepers brought together by their condition. Even here, the lepers had heard about Jesus and his power. They wanted no trouble. As required, they kept their distance. And from a distance, they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Not asking for a particular outcome, you notice, but just for mercy, for love, for compassion. Jesus simply tells them to go and show themselves to a priest whose job in those days was to certify that lepers were in fact free from their affliction. And as they go, they are healed. And they are all healed. Only one returns to Jesus. They all did what he had asked, but one returns, praising God with a loud voice, and kneels down at the feet of Jesus. He happened to be a despised foreigner, a Samaritan. Now, I'm told that leprosy can affect the vocal cords. So the loud voice that cried out in thanksgiving was a sign he was cured. That he could come so close to Jesus was also a sign of his cure. It's worth noticing again that all the lepers did what they were asked. But in this life, keeping the rules is really not enough. There are some very severe rule keepers, but the Samaritan does better than keeping the rules. He comes before Jesus in love and in gratitude. He appreciates what Jesus has done for him. He praises God for his well-being. Such thanksgiving is always a sign of joy. It's very hard to be sad and grateful at the same time. And these days, many people demand their rights by law, but it gives them no joy. Remember the story at the beginning of this talk about the rich man who had the brain tumour. From that, and from the miracle in our gospel, we learn that thanksgiving and appreciation are what fill us with joy. And that is a sign of a greater healing than just the healing of the body. We should promise this day that we will never take our friends, our life, our health, or our God for granted, but live with thanksgiving for all that we receive, day by day. Amen.